All right, first things first. I'm not sure if any of you have sent in questions. I did see a question from you on Facebook, Sam, about the chimp, male chimp, monkey, male chimp. There's plenty of videos on YouTube on how to use MailChimp, and we're all sort of going in different directions. So I thought if I spent some time on that, it would be totally boring for the people who are using something else. So it's probably something that either you give us a call or just there's plenty of videos on YouTube on how to do it. So for those of you who are looking for systems still on delivering emails and processing what have you, I use an application called One Shopping Cart. It's based in America. It costs about $50, $40, $50 US a month, but it actually does all my automatic payments. It does all my emails, my automatic emails. It's sort of a, if you want to manage all of that stuff, it's worth looking at, but with the American dollar to the Australian dollar, it's actually like probably 74 cents to a dollar. It might not be an expense that you want to take on board at this early stage, but it automates everything, makes it pretty easy. Sam, that was a hand up. No, it went down. Cool.
Yeah, sorry. My thing was offering me to record it. I was going to tell you you'd not record. I just seen the recording button in the last hour. I ignore me.
Okay, I'll ignore you. And Philippa, welcome aboard.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Sorry, I'm a little late. It is wonderful, thank you. Just while I've got you there, David, I had a question today with an insurance broker that is going to hopefully give me some referrals. It went really well. But she did ask me a question. Is there a way that Spending Planner, the program, can connect to a bank account? I just thought that was very interesting. Okay.
Actually, I'll, as you guys may have picked up already, I have very little interest in historical financial records. I used to be an anal record keeper. I had boxes and boxes of notepads where I'd written down every cent for like 20 years that came in and went out of our house. And it never helped me at all. And my question would always be when somebody asks, can your program do that? I would reply by saying, what interest would there be, or what benefit do you think there would be in being able to do that? What is it that you want to actually do with all of that information? Because you can't change history. It has happened. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, the only thing that we can get from history is perhaps, it appears that you spend around $200 a month on telephone or $200 a week on groceries. But outside of that, downloading and keeping historical records, to me, is a total waste of time. And I actually think that's almost a sell point, because you can say to people, you don't need to waste hours of your life inputting information or you know, downloading information and then looking at it and going, what does it all mean? When it's the future, the plan into the future that makes the difference, that empowers people, that gets people excited about, oh, wow, my life can turn out better than I thought, and it's probably worth getting up in the morning and smiling. So, I mean, I'm not sure if there was a specific reason what that particular person was looking for, but if ever anybody asks me, I go straight back at them and say, well, what would you want that for?
Okay. I said to her, look, I don't have an answer, but I will get one for you. Yeah. And then I pointed out to her, because I had the computer with me showing her, and I pointed out to her about the Mark transactions as completed, and then your actuals. And I said, if you're a pedantic record keeper, you would mark them as actuals. Mm-hmm. And if you're that pedantic, well, it will match your bank account.
Yeah. All right. I'll keep going, but that sounds like it that can be your answer for now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Cool. All right. And just with you, it must be what, 8 o'clock at night?
No, it's 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Gosh. All right.
Yes.
That's
okay.
All right. So first of all, the purpose of these monthly calls are more of, certainly if you have questions that you want answered, you'd send them to Daryl, to admin@, and she would forward them on to me. But it's more sort of covering topics, bit of education, bit of Q&A at the end, sort of dissemination of information. First of all, you would have all seen that the next annual conference has been announced, and is one of my famous videos on our YouTube page there. Hopefully you all appreciate the talent that's gone into creating that. I'm sure you've all can't wait to book in and turn up based on that video. The excitement is building. So if you haven't seen that video yet, go and have a look at it. It's those that came last year probably recognised that I used some of the elements from last year's video and tweaked it a bit, so turned it into something new and better. We're going to be bigger and better next year. There'll be more sessions, but the price hasn't changed, so we've been able to pack more in for the same amazing value. So we look forward to seeing you there. With regards to other stuff that's going on, I just communicated with Nick, who's our software developer. I gave him a list of about 20 things that I wanted done, or I don't know, probably about a month ago, hoping that we'd see some of those one by one coming through. But he's basically said to me that it's the things that I've asked for, not really possible to do one at a time. So he's working on a major update. And one of the things that I've been hanging out for the last 12 months for was the long term. Now, there's a software support number now that you can all call. I'm not sure how much it would cost a call from America, Philippa, but the number should work if you put a +61 in front of it. And I had a couple of calls on the weekend which both came from people who were using long-term bank accounts. So when they were setting up an account, they chose long-term as the account type. And that throws everything into chaos. So if you have a client or whether you yourself have strange things happening, first thing to go and look at is, have you got an account that's set up as a long-term account? If you were to go through all of the steps that we've laid out for your clients, nowhere in there have I said, open up an account and call it a long-term account. So nobody should have one, but there's always going to be people who experiment and, try things and go above and beyond what they've been asked to do. So if you have anybody with a problem, that's one of the first things you would check with them. But I'm very happy for people to phone that number. Don't ever think, oh, I'll just be annoying, David or whoever's taking the calls. Because to me, it's one of the best things I ever did, because I now get to hear everything that might be a problem. And previously, if you guys thought, oh, yeah, David knows about that, so I won't trouble him, won't put it up on Facebook. What I've discovered is that people were assuming that a problem that existed for them was something that I knew about because they read somebody else's post on Facebook and thought, oh, yeah, that's the problem I've got, so I don't need to report it. But that's actually been proven now to be incorrect, because some people have thought their problem was one thing, but it was something else, like a simple account that needed to be changed. And every person that calls me, it gives me insight into, like I get to ask questions and I'm learning so much from it. So there haven't been heaps and heaps of calls, but the ones that I have had come through have been really, really helpful. So don't hesitate to call that number. Don't think you'll be annoying me. If I can't take your call, it'll go through to a message bank and then I'll return the call as quickly as I can. Any questions on that before I keep going on? Okay, so just call me. Now, one of the questions that keeps coming up is the export to Excel. And that's a button that we have absolutely no control over. It was just part of a package that we use when we're creating the software, and it's just there. And it's not something that we can have any control over. It did work when we first put the software up, but now it doesn't seem to want to play ball. I, though, have come, for all of those people who are disappointed by the fact that it's not working, I've come up with a very simple solution. So everybody say, yay, right now.
Yay.
What? I know you're disappointed by it, Mark.
Definitely.
If you bring up your display the plan of any particular account that you wanted to export to Excel, the grid at the bottom, and sorry to those people who don't know what I mean by a grid. Someone I was talking to the other day had no idea what I was talking about. Grid or matrix, the transaction list at the bottom of the screen, you've got the graph at the top, summary in the middle, and then at the bottom you've got all of the transactions. I call that a grid. You can actually put your cursor in the top left-hand corner of where the numbers and dates are, press your left mouse button, and then drag your way right to the bottom of the screen, and then release your mouse button. That will highlight the entire list of transactions that you've got. And then Control C or right click to go copy. Open Excel, a blank spreadsheet, click on a box and go Control V or paste, and you just put the whole thing into Excel.
Now, it's funny, David, I did that about 2 days ago.
And it worked.
Yeah. I just went, because I was doing screenshots of it and just using it on pieces of paper, and I just like to be able to modify it inside the program. So I just went, I'll just copy and paste, and it actually brings all your titles over and everything for you.
Yep.
Nice display. It gives you a better display than what the old export used to give you.
Yep. So just copy and paste straight from the grid. And drop it in Excel for all of those who like to see it in Excel or wanted to send it to customers or other people. Like if you might have a customer who's wanting to send information to a mortgage broker or a financial planner, or that's how they can get it out and put it into Excel so they can email it through. Now, there's those of you that came to the annual conference at the beginning of this year would have heard Nick say that he referred to a thing called a report writer. And it's just a piece of software that he adds on to the tools that he's using that enables him to write reports, as in, exporting, profit and losses and balances and account, any information at all that can be extracted from your data is going to be exported through a thing called a report writer. And he said to us in January that there was nothing on the market that was really suitable or good enough for what he was looking for. But he announced to me a couple of weeks ago that he has actually purchased one now, and he thinks that within a couple of months, that's the middle of the year, we should start to see basic reports coming through that you'll be able to go print this report, print that report, or export it to a PDF or whatever. So. Don't hold me to that timeline, because I know with everything software related, it's always at least double what you expect. But we've made a step forwards with that. So that's exciting. All right. So I've got two topics I really want to cover. And one I've picked up on from a few of the people, the posts I've seen on Facebook, that some of you who are struggling to get started are concerned with, I need to know all about everything before I can start. And I've mentioned this before, but it seems to have not gone away. So it's like, okay, I'm scared to go and get a customer because I won't know what to do. Or they might ask me a question that I can't answer. And I know that you will have all, Jenny said, at every training session that we've done, you've only got to be one step ahead of your customer to be the expert. But I still think there are people, I can see that there are people who are concerned that they don't know enough. So when you sign somebody up as a customer, this will give you guys an opportunity to actually speak and interact. What things do you have to have in place before you can sign up a customer? Someone put up their hand and
yeah, do you put a hand up?
I'm going to unmute everybody, so you can just speak into your microphone right now.
Yeah, David, you need to need to have your ABN, need to have a business name registered, and you need to be able to take a payment as well. So you would need to have a like an e-way or something like that set up. But yeah, you'd have to, which all of that stuff you should have before we go to the training.
Yeah, so a merchant facility. So all right, assuming that you've done all of that before you turned up at the training, you've got the ability to charge somebody, but now someone's, you know, you've had a chat with someone and they've gone, yep, I want to be your customer. And suddenly you're going, an HPC, what do?
Just get them to do the paperwork, the contract.
So those of you that I'm actually
go through the steps on the website from step number 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, exactly. So if I do a screen share right now, because I've got that here. Wait a second. Where? Share screen. One. Oh, I've got to click on share screen. All right, there we go. Actually, I'm going to mute everybody because there's some weird noises in the background, so you'll have to unmute yourself to speak. Mark, I'll unmute you because you were speaking. So this is where you log into the Resources Centre. Now, if you've been on Facebook, you'll notice that Jenny introduced Kathy Rollins. She is taking over the organisation and running of all of our conferences, as well as providing some much needed relief to Jenny in getting some of her work off her plate so she can do more business building stuff rather than administrative stuff. So she's been given the task of making this page easier to navigate and easier to find stuff. That's already looking better. We get down here for spending planners, customers, so the paperwork, terms and conditions, privacy policy, refund policy, sign up form, all of this first section here, you have to have some way of getting that out to the client. And we've got here welcome email, choose from face to face, or if you've been talking to them on Skype or telephone or whatever. So you do need them to sign up and basically agree to the terms and conditions. So all the information is here. But each one of you guys should have clicked here and downloaded all of those documents. If you weren't happy with the wording, you should have sort of customized it to suit your personal style. And you should have them in some place in your email system where when someone says, yep, I want to do this, you can go bang, 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 send them the emails, process their credit card, and get the ball rolling. If you aren't at that place right now, you need to do something about that super quickly. Assuming that every one of you is, what happens next?
You then go on to
Mark, let's make somebody else do some work.
Yep.
I know you're a goer. Let's get someone else to work. I'm going to put someone on the map. How about Richard?
Okay, first next step would be, assuming you've issued all of that documentation and you've got down to the questionnaire. Am I right?
Yeah. So you've got but basically you've asked them to email back and acknowledge that they agree to the terms and conditions and all of that. That's all happened.
You've gone through all of that stages bit by bit, and then you forward them the questionnaire and ask them to complete their picture of their current position.
Yep. Now, if you haven't looked at any of these documents, I know you all have, but you know, if you're not familiar with them, if you haven't got in your head what it's all about, you need to do that. But is there anything scary about sending that email out to somebody and waiting for them to reply?
No.
No. I can't imagine it being scary to anybody. The next step, setting up bank accounts. So there's an email to be sent out. Is that scary?
No, it's just basically asking them for information, which they should know, yeah, and which is simply explained to them as being the basis for their operating the spending plan,
all right,
accessing their bank accounts and so on.
Yeah. So, and if I sort of just jump ahead, if you look at all of those steps, you should all know what they are by now. There's really only one step in here where you get called upon to put some intelligent, warm-blooded human input into what's happening. And it's on your screen right now, so can someone tell me which one it is?
David, it's when you generate the first spending plan, I think.
Right down here at step seven.
Oh, no, potentially even in prioritising.
Yeah, although I wouldn't have thought that was something that was difficult, because it's pretty well spelt out in the video and the email.
Yeah.
But it's really not until you get to step seven where you're being called upon to actually apply your expertise. And that's where it's like, okay, let's look at this together and what's the process. So first thing on that call, and those of you that have had a customer and you've come through to this point, you will probably instinctively know, what's the first thing that has to happen? So you set a time, you make the call, you log in, and there you are looking at a whole bunch of information. What has to happen first?
You have to make sure that all the information is correct.
Right. It's basically line by line, go through and quiz them.
One by one.
Yep. What's this one? What's this one? Oh, lipstick, $50 a week. Do you really buy lipstick every week, $50? Oh, and you just ask them the story, yeah? Beer, $100 a week. Do you really buy, maybe they do, but quite often you'll find that there'll be ones like that where they'll just have picked a number. Or maybe they've added up what they spent in the last 3 months and turned it into a weekly amount and put it in there. And it turned out that they don't actually, buy alcohol every week or lipstick every week, but that's just what it's averaged out at. So based on the answers that they give you, if they go, oh, look, I just happened to have had a birthday party and we spent $1,000 on grog, so I average it down to weekly. And so my question would then be, oh, okay, so it doesn't happen every week. That was just, you averaged it down to that. Yeah. Okay, so do we need to have a weekly amount in there for alcohol? Or is it something that you would, if it's important and you want to put money aside for it, should we set up a little grog account and put $20 in there, allocated in there every week so that there's money for the next party? So you just need to ask questions to find out whether this is a regular, recurring, repetitive thing that belongs in their bills account, or whether it's something that's rubbery and belongs in a rubbery expenses account. And once you've done that, what you're left with is the facts of, okay, well, let's have a look and see what the crystal ball tells us. And if you don't feel comfortable at that right now, the only way you're going to get comfortable is to practice on people. And I have suggested that you team up with other spending planners. If you've done that, or you don't feel comfortable doing that and you think that's not going to work for me, well, then the next best thing would be family members, friends, work colleagues, just even if you did a freebie with somebody, just so that you can practice what you're sort of hesitant about. And of course, we're here all the time. If you've got questions, you're not on your own. So if you've watched all the videos, you've read all of the emails, you've personalized the emails, and you've got them all sitting in a spot where you can just send them out really quickly and easily, not one of you guys should ever have any fear of success. Any questions about that before I change topics? Any comments?
No, Paul, good.
Anybody want to admit that they've actually had fear of success? Everybody put your hand up. Yep. Sam, absolutely. We all have. You know, like, Struth, what happens when I get a customer? I won't know what to do. But
I think we're all scared of success at the beginning. Oh.
Yep. Say that again, Sam.
I think we're all scared of success at the beginning. I went to a meeting once that the whole meeting was around the only thing you fear is success when it's about your new business. It was really good.
Yeah.
But what I did, what I found was what probably some of the newer members are doing is like panicking a little bit and getting paranoid that you're not good enough or you can't do it or whatever. So what I did, I did it with my first client who was also a friend. Yeah. So I was constantly getting feedback from him and the emails. I actually have changed those steps 1 to 10. Mine are 8, and I've not completely changed them, but I've tweaked them to be more personalised to me. And so I know what my 8 steps are, and I'm more confident in sending them out. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I think people will look at sort of the emails and think, "Oh, this has to have it. That has to be how it like." And I can't get my head around it. So they should just make it their own. And you know, those are only suggestions, aren't they? Mine is 8 steps, and yeah, I took some stuff out. I added stuff in.
So long as you're not changing the overall process of what it is we're trying to achieve, it's absolutely
perfect. Absolutely, yeah.
Heather, you've got your hand up. Is that just an admission of being afraid of success, or is that a question?
No, I'm not necessarily afraid of success. It was more I'm a bit anal. As everyone knows, I'm anal about my stuff. But I like to know. I struggled getting the steps in order because I got my mind all confused of what was
right. Yeah.
So once I got my mind around what the process and the order was, that was better.
Cool. Okay. I mean, it's fairly logical. It's very simple. You know, that if you've had customers, you know that the hard things to get done is getting that list. And if you haven't heard me say it before, if you've got someone who balks at that list and they haven't started within a week, just make it easy for them by just do 5. Just give me 5, give me 10. What are the biggest expenses that cause you grief? Let's just do a plan for them. All right, Richard, you've got your hand up. Let's...
Only an admission of having butterflies when you first start out. That's it.
Yep. But as somebody appropriately put on the Facebook forum there, success always begins, or growth begins, outside the comfort zone.
Correct.
And then it ends up in the comfort zone. And then you need to step out of your comfort zone again to get to the next level.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions about that? Some of you might be surprised to hear that you're allowed to personalize the steps. Just don't change the outcome. If that makes it more comfortable for you, that's great. All right, so what I want to do next, you all know Carolyn. If you don't, you've been living under a log. She was our spending planner of the year for 2016. And I think she's pretty keen on winning that award again, so I hope there's some good challenges out there. I'm keeping an eye on everybody. She's phoned me a couple of times. She's actually been having chats with some of you guys just because she can, and she enjoys talking to people. And it's always like, you know, some people are doing better than others. And to me, it's like, okay, why is that so? And that's why we've sort of been addressing what we've just talked about in the last 5 or 10 minutes. Because I want to take the fear out of it for those of you who are holding yourselves back. But an observation that Carolyn made to me was that the people who are really going well at the moment, not all of them, but a majority, were previous customers of mine who'd used my Simply Budget software before we sort of went over to becoming spending planning and we dropped the Simply Budgets. So had some previous knowledge of the software and how it worked, and that it had changed their life. So there was some passion from the fact that, wow, this has changed my life. I want to go and help other people change their lives. as opposed to somebody who's come along and has yet to really sort of get the passion, so to speak. So I decided that it would be a really good idea. Now, can you guys see? I've just switched the screen. Can someone confirm that you can see YouTube there now?
Yes.
Cool. Yes. Awesome. So what I'm going to do, there's about 10 minutes this is going to take. I've got a video here that on the Simply Budgets website, there's a link that goes through to this video. And I'm just going to play it, and I'm going to put my microphone up to the speaker. And this is, I mean, it'll probably give every one of you some insight, but for those of you who haven't really got it yet, I'm hoping that this will get some pennies to drop and get some aha moments for you to see where the power is in what we do and how it can be so life-changing for people and why you shouldn't be afraid of going out and getting customers, because the one thing that makes all the difference, especially when you're not quite sure what you're doing, is enthusiasm, excitement, and passion. When you're bubbling with, wow, I can't wait to share this with you, it doesn't matter if you bumble a few things, because people can see that your heart is to help them, and you're so keen that you might even be getting ahead of yourself a little bit, but that's okay, because they're getting carried along with the excitement. And I know, like Carolyn, Sam, you're really excited and bubbly and out there, and enthusiasm just comes out of you, like, you know, and that's why you found it easy to get customers. Other people are maybe a little bit more sort of conservative in their nature. I need to help you guys get excited. So I'm hoping that the next 10 minutes and then the quick Q&A session that will come after it will maybe move us towards that. Now, clearly, you're going to recognise that if you haven't seen my Simply Budget software, those of you that came on board since Spending Planner, you know, it's different, but you're going to recognise there's stuff in here that oh, yeah, I know what that's about, because I can understand, I can translate it across to the new software. So here we go. Sit back, don't fall asleep, but relax and take all this in, and let's see what comes out of it. All right, for those of you that had never seen my Simply Budget software before, that was sort of like 5 years ago, that recording. I'm not selling software anymore. I'm promoting spending planners, and hopefully you guys are doing all of the selling, and it's selling you rather than software. So let's get some comments. Anybody who had never been a Simply Budgets user? Lizzie, that would be you, I think. Anything in there that was new to you?
No. As I keep saying, David, I just not ever seen the program before, and always been involved in money and numbers and bookkeeping and accounts keeping. I just think the program is brilliant. It's unbelievable. It should be compulsory everywhere. but I'm still struggling to sign up customers in a big way, and I'm just not sure what I'm doing wrong. What is it? I just said a little message to Sam. I just think it's the Gold Coast, easy, relaxed, she'll be right attitude down here. They just seem to, yeah, oh, it's all right, I'll go for a surf and it'll fix all the problems, because everybody wants it and everyone says, yeah, you should have that. But nobody wants to put their hand up and say,
It's all in how you go about it, because until people feel pain, they're not going to change anything. And if, you know, you bowl up to somebody and say, oh, I want to do your budget for you or do your spending plan for you, unless you've actually, prior to that question, gotten them feeling like I could end up retiring in a gutter and spending my days freezing cold and you know, my nights freezing cold, sorry. Unless you can get them to sort of feel like, wow, I've been left behind and there's something I need to do to catch up. Yeah, it's going to be difficult to get them to sign up. Sam's got her hand up and probably wants to add something to this, so I'll give her the opportunity. Sam?
Yeah, sorry. My machine just said that your internet connection is lost, so I didn't hear the last few seconds of that. Yeah, I was just going to say to Lizzie that I'm happy to, well, I'm happy, I don't want to like brag or anything, but I'm happy to chat with her and give her some ideas about how I got a few clients. Because my clients sort of are varied. They come from all over. So, you know what I mean? They're not from one particular source. And yeah. I've gone to so many networking meetings and so many marketing meetings, and I just pluck from them all what I think works for me as a person and for me as a spending planner. And, you know, I've had suggestions said to me where I think, God, what a load of rubbish. And then I've heard things that go, oh, my God, that's true, and da-da-da. And I think that it does, it is practice, and it is, you know, like now I mean, like I said to you on the private message, I was like really scared at first. I was nervous and I was like going, oh God, all right.
What but am I signing up for?
Yeah. But I'm just like, come, all I do, my method of attack is I meet them, I buy them a coffee, and all that I've got on me is a sign-up form and a disclaimer. And my
I'm not even getting appointments to actually meet, to actually even do the sell. Like, you know, I've done Facebook advertising, I've done pamphlet drops, I've done email market. I'm not even getting, I'm even a little bit interested. Like, I'm just not even getting that first base to, you know, I know that once I get two or three people sitting in front of that, I can get, you know, that's not a problem.
Right.
And then when I've got them signed up, man, they will be spruiking me like anything, because, you know, but it's just, I'm just not getting, even the freebies that I gave away at the Bridal Expo, they haven't come back and said, yeah, I'm ready to start. That they're not, you know, and even though I've gone through, don't overblow your budget on your wedding, don't, you know, lots of reasons why they need to have it. I'm just not getting someone to come up and say, yeah.
So just on that, first of all, I'm sure you've heard me say that anything that somebody gets for free has zero value to them.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully you collected people's names and email addresses and telephone numbers as they came.
Yep. Emailed all of them, had no responses, and that's using a mixture of your referral email and different ones that I've come up with and different ones where I've watched. I've even gone on to other people's that sell things and got, okay, right, see if I can take the structure out of their email and use it and put it into my words and sent. And I'm just not.
Yep.
Like, have you followed them up, Lizzie?
Followed them up?
Yeah.
I mean, you mean a second and third email?
Phone them?
I haven't done second and third emails. I've done a few people that I have been chasing have sent them, you know, come on, let's get this done, let's get together. And I went to trade schools this week, couldn't get my foot in the door there.
So, like, let's think about people who are all excited about getting married. They've got their rose-coloured glasses on and everything is going to be amazing and fantastic and
possibly
go wrong. So, unless you can present them with, did you know that, you know, one in every two marriages end up in divorce?
And I don't want to say that to young couples. Oh, my God, as much as I wanted to, I didn't want to say that.
Well, maybe you could do it this way. The number one reason why couples stop having sex after they got married is because they've got money stress in their life. That might work.
Yeah.
And money stress is something you don't need. And if you want the other, let me help you fix the problem before it happens. You have to get to people's pain, or really it take away their pleasure or make them feel their pain. But here's the thing. There's two ways that when you start this business, there's two phases. And the first phase is to set up a referral base. Unless you've got the dynamic personality that can just go and get customers without having to get referrals. But, you know, the first phase is about getting a trusted group of mortgage brokers, accountants, financial planners, lawyers, you know, solicitors around you. And you would basically pick them out of the yellow pages, ring them up and say, you know, I'd like to have a meeting with you about sharing customers and the possibility of referring customers. That's all you need to say. And they say, oh, really? What about? You say, well, I'm... I'm a spending planner. I'm part of a network that's helped over 30,000 people around the country, and we specialise in helping people get rid of their day-to-day money stress. And I imagine that you would have clients who from time to time would have money issues that you can't help them with or don't want to help them with. That's what we do. And I'm looking for people who I can send my clients to when they need accounting or financial planning or mortgage broking or whatever. Who's going to say no to a meeting like that? And so then you've got the opportunity to sell yourself to them, and then they're going to realise the value in what you're offering and start referring to you. Have you done that, or has it not worked for you?
No, I've done it. I've done a talk at mortgage breaking. You know, I've got three or four mortgage broker friends.
Yeah.
You know, that I've go and see regularly and talk to, and you know, just you know, and a lot of them, because they come under, they come under the Aussie banner. They go, oh, confidentiality, we can't do that. And I've, you know, said talk them around that, and said, yeah, you can. There's ways you can do that. And just not being able to get.
Okay. Well, yeah, this isn't the forum for solving Lizzie Hammond's problem. But,
No.
Everybody has the same.
Can I just jump in there for a second? Yeah. Lizzie, what I would do if I were you is, like, it's just being, just keep at it, because you're doing all the right things. And like I said, since last July when I did my training with you, I have done more networking and coffee meetings and BNIs and this, that and the other than I, you know what I mean? I'm never home because I'm always out there. And every time I meet somebody, they go, let me have a load of your cards. Let me have a load of your cards. I'm going through business cards like nobody's business, but yet my phone is not ringing off the hook. And I do believe that one day it will be, right? Yeah. But what's happening is, like, yesterday I had two meetings. The day before I had one meeting. All of those three meetings were all big organizations. All of them asked me, they approached me, not me, them. And they asked me, saying, oh, they'd heard about me and can I help them? And it was all, it wasn't personalized budgeting. Like, the first lady wanted me to help her. But you know when I said I met her at the Magda breakfast with
I look at that and I go, Sam lucked out sitting next to that person there, and that's what you need. And
exactly.
You know,
he's offered me days.
My luck, I always get to sit next to the guy who owns machinery or something like that.
Come on, you make your own luck to a certain extent.
But I didn't. The thing is, though, I didn't sit next to her. You know what I mean? I was networking. So, you know what I mean? And then another mortgage broker, a financial advisor yesterday asked me, and then another wealth management team. I presented a thing yesterday to seven people. And I was as nervous as all hell, but in the end, I was comfortable and I was confident. I thought, this is my business. I've got this. And you know what I mean? And it's what I'm saying is those three people all approach me. All three organizers approach me. So and I'm not getting loads of clients now. I've had a bit of a dry spell, but I know that they'll come because I'm going to keep at it. So my advice to you.
I'm not far from giving up. In fact, it makes me more determined because, like I said before, this should be compulsory, and it's got to.
No one thinks you're going to give up.
Sam, you said your phone's not running off the hook, but you're giving business cards out left, right, and centre. So. Yeah. Do you think that maybe those business cards led to those three appointments that you were just referring to?
No, they were like networking meetings and But when I've been to marketing meetings, they always say there's a delay between putting yourself out and you get business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm in the delay, that's what I think.
Cool. All right. So just back to the video. If you guys want to watch that yourself, you can just go to simplybudgets.com.au and you'll find on the right-hand side there's a spot that says, how does it work or something like that, and you'll find that video. If you want to watch it again, I'm sure that you could see the transition from the old software to where we're at now. And there was a mention there of long-term. Those of you that use the old software, we're all hanging out for long term, and Nick tells me that it will be in the next release, so I'm very excited about that. As I said at the start, at the moment, even if you nominate an account to be a long term, it will throw everything into chaos. So we just have to wait for it and then it'll all be great. But can I get some other comments or questions or anything that might have come out of, you know, if you didn't watch that video and think, wow, then I don't know what's missing and I don't know how to put what should be there. Because it's just like, Marlene, do you want to...
Can I make a comment, David, yep. or ask a question?
Yep.
Do any other of the planners actually demonstrate the software in any way to potential referral partners? Because I have difficulty, I guess, getting across how powerful the system is without actually showing them.
Yep.
You know, people like mortgage brokers, etc. I haven't shown them this yet, but I think that might be the tipping point for some of them.
Carolyn sent earlier this week, she sent me a PowerPoint that she uses where she's just got a few screenshots that she's taken and can do it so that there's no technology hang-ups and slow internet problems and things when she has a meeting. But yes, she has a PowerPoint. It's probably got about 5 or 6 slides. It starts off with a mission statement. It then talks about she's actually done a spending plan that's got lots of red, and she's taken a snapshot of the dashboard with the graphs showing, and with the spending plan with all of the red, and it's sort of showing, gee, this is tragic looking thing. The next slide, she's got the Lance curve. So that she can basically position herself. This is, not in your area, we're not in their area, we're here in the middle where there's nobody. And then she's got the next slide is basically the same data as before, but it's all been fixed up and it's all green. And I mean, it's just a simple, simple PowerPoint, but it's got just those few images that can portray the projections, the looking into the future, the crystal ball kind of stuff.
Yes, because I think that's key.
Printed out in a folder, right, because there was no things as iPads or anything when I started out. And I just used to flick the page and go, you know, look at this, see that, look at this, this is what it's all about. And what you've got to get across is that you want to share in the business experience of the local community and that you want to be part of a bigger team that they're all part of and that you want to refer clients to them. And you know they'll have clients that they'll refer to you and that you can help them look better to their clients by being able to bring more benefits to them. And, at some point in time, they're definitely going to need to see what it does, but I would be loath, certainly in a first meeting, to go, hey, let's log in and have a look at how this all works, because there's so many things that can go wrong and you don't want to have egg on your face.
No, I was probably thinking more along the lines of what Carolyn's done, you know, just key snapshots of the data and the graphs.
Well, she said she's very happy to share that with everybody. So I will take her at her word and I'll get Daryl to put it up on the resources centre and let you all know when it's happened.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Cool. Yes. Sam.
It's always me, isn't it? Sorry.
That's all right.
Molly, I've got, when I did my PowerPoint presentation, I've actually got a slide that's called It's Not About the Software, and it lists things like support, guidance, accountability, blah, blah, blah. And if anybody ever asks me, you know, to look at the software before they'll do business with me or whatever, whether it's a client or a mortgage broker, whatever, I sort of remember my slide and I go, yeah, but it's not about the software, it's about, and they go, oh, and then they just start chatting about it, and half the time they forget about it and sign up anyway. So I think it's just how you handle the conversation. I did have one mortgage broker that said, I'm not putting any clients in front of you until I see your software. So I just scheduled in half an hour with him. I showed him the demo client, showed him a couple of things, and he was happy, and now he's happy to refer. And that, I've only ever done it once. And only because he insisted.
Yeah. I think the question that Marlene was asking, though, was more about how do you get someone like a mortgage broker or that you would want to have as a referral partner to see the magic? Because, I mean, 15 minutes ago I was saying I still feel that there are some of you guys who haven't really got it yet. So until someone gets the magic and goes, oh, wow, look at the power in this, they're less likely to go, yeah, I'd be happy to refer to you. So I think that's where Marlene was coming from. It's a case of, yeah, how do you get that wow to that person? And, you know, it's going to be different for different people. And, I mean, I started by offering some freebies. One mortgage broker rang me from an advertisement he saw in the newspaper. I went and showed him, like, just flicking the pages on my little presentation thing. One of them, I did a budget for her sister, who she couldn't convince needed some help. And her sister went, oh, wow, and changed her life. And then it was like, all right, well, if you can do that to my sister, you can do it to my customers. So, you know, you'll need to think outside the box and look at each individual situation on its merit. But, yeah, it's how do you give them the wow factor that will get them to go, yeah, I can see what my clients need this.
Yeah, you're right, David. That's what I was meaning.
Yeah.
I guess because I think I talk about it, and I talk about knowing your bank balance every day and, you know, being able to check against your plan with your actual balance. But in some respects, I'm not sure whether some of them actually believe me that this is possible, or that it's something different from traditional budgeting methods.
So in that video, the point that I was trying to make was that, and this is one of my key points, I talk about the telephone, you know, the phone banking, and how you can log in under 10 seconds and see where you're at. But did you realise there's a number missing? I don't know if you've used that line, but it works gangbusters. If you say, I've got a meeting tomorrow where I'm actually meeting a mortgage broker. I rang him up because I'm practicing what I preach. I'm making phone calls. I'm going and meeting people to make sure that the points that I'm telling you guys are true and valid. So I've set up a couple of appointments to go and talk to some mortgage brokers tomorrow. And this particular guy, I said, you know, when he sort of started asking me what it was all about, I said, well, you know how you can use your phone, log into your banking. Did you realize there's a number missing? And I got him straight away. What number's missing? Well, it doesn't tell you where you should be. It just tells you where you are. I mean, that was the whole point of what the guts of that video was all about. You know, we can't see the future, and we're all called on to just guess and try and get it right. And everybody wants to get it right, and very few people are. Why is that happening? Because they don't have the tools or the people around them to show them how to get it right. And when you know where you're supposed to be, you can get there. Isn't that exciting? And you know, just those words paint the picture. So, all right. Anything else that might have come out of that? Any questions? Because I'm supposed to stick to an hour. Philippa. I'll unmute you. You know,
okay, what you show a client. Today when I met with the mortgage broker, I did show her the software and she was in awe of it.
Right.
But I had just wanted to run this by, and to me it was a great line. I love it when you say budgets suck. So I felt very, very comfortable with this lady, and I said to her, I said, now the difference between a budget and a spending plan is budgets suck. I said, budgets are income and expenses, and everybody falls off the wagon. I said, a spending plan is income, expenses, and timing. And I said, when you've got all of that in place, you can see into the future, and timing is everything, and it's life-changing. And she was blown away.
Yep. Perfect. It's that crystal ball attached to your bank account.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, that's excellent feedback. So you've learnt the language that's working for you, and keep using it.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Any parting? I mean, that's what it's all about. You basically will develop a vocabulary that you've, because of the failures and the successes and the failures and the successes, and you've got to have failures to have successes and to learn, you'll develop a vocabulary that you just kind of know. Right now is the right time to say such and such. And right now is the right time not to say that, but the right time to say this. And it just, that's, you can't get that from anything else but experience and getting out there and failing fast. If you've got to fail, you might as well fail fast. So go and do it, and then the success comes fast too. All right, any questions, any other points, any things that you wanted me to cover that I didn't cover? Sam. So
David.
Oh, David. I'll go with David.
Yeah. Hey, just before I got on this this seminar, this recording, I opened up an email from RACQ. Are you a member of RACQ?
Yep.
I sent out an email about the QB Bank or whatever that they've joined with.
Mm-hmm.
And when you click, there's a link on there about five budgeting mistakes or five things to do for a good financial manager or something.
Yeah.
When I clicked on that, they gave these things only very briefly, not much there, but underneath comments, there was one comment in there, and I was just thinking, well, that's where we should be putting in a comment, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's working the digital age, and that's how Facebook and all of those social things work, where you go and stick your comments in everywhere you possibly can. And people will see it, and it'll, especially if you put your website or your email, or maybe not your email address, but it points back to you.
I was just wondering whether we point it back to ourselves or we make it a general one for spending planners. Look it up on the spending planners website.
By the way, all of those 10 reasons why budgets fail and spending plans work. In your user guide, the training manual, there's stuff that you can pull that out of there, and use it. I mean, as your own five reasons why or 10 reasons. You know, like, there's no reason why you can't provide that kind of stuff to people.
Yep. Yep.
And just before I go to Sam, that video that we just watched, I've just started working on a spending planner version of that video to be available.
Oh, brilliant.
And just so you know, Philippa, who was the last person speaking, saw the video on the Find a Spending Planner website and said, that would be perfect on my website, and asked for permission to use it. I checked to make sure that all of the images that were on there were not royalty, there was no problem with it. And she's now got that on her website. Is that right, Philippa? I'll just unmute you. We'll come to you.
No, it wouldn't let me. It said that I didn't. I was doing it through Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, and it said that I didn't have permission.
Oh, okay. Well, I can fix
to
that.
To use it.
I can fix
great.
That. Just email it, because I have to say what websites it can be posted on.
Awesome.
Okay. Just send this your,
okay, I'll shoot your that.
And I'll allow it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Okay. And anybody else that would like to do that, no problem. Just let me know. But this, I'll do a new version, modern day version of that one that we just saw. So, and that'll be a resource that you can direct people to as well. Sam.
I was just going to ask, is the $10 a month fee in the list of stuff that you get to Nick?
Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
I will go back to here. And... goodness gracious me, how do I undo that? No, that's not where I want to be. Okay, in the resources center, you won't have, unless you've been there looking, you probably didn't notice, but I have added an extra document in there with when you sign people up.
Yeah, I saw that when you were scrolling through it before.
Yep. Okay, so it's there. Some people have already started charging customers without me saying anything, and I don't have a problem with that. You're quite welcome to go and read the instructions on what to do and how to do it and get started. In fact, I've actually paid someone some commission already. But I will be making an announcement as soon as Nick releases this next version. That's when it begins. So at that point, I'm going to say to everybody, if you haven't seen it yet, go and have a look at this document in the Resources Center that tells you how to start the payments for all of your existing customers and how to start the payments for your new customers.
Okay, and you're happy for us to do that before your announcement?
I don't mind. If you've got happy customers who'd like to be paying, by all means, go and start the ball rolling and generate some royalty income for yourself.
That's the plan.
Yep. But I just thought I'd get all of my ducks in a row before I made the announcement. But if you've seen it there or you want to go and find it, by all means.
Yeah. Just to confirm, they pay $10 a month for the 6 months, don't they? The minimum 6 months.
Yeah, well, it's actually yes, it is 6 months because they get the first month free.
Yeah.
The document explains how to give people the first month for free. And all of the long-term customers that have already had a year free or whatever, obviously, you're giving them a month free, you'll just sign them up. Bang, bang.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful.
Cool. Thanks for that question because it was on my list and somehow or other I overlooked it. So.
That's all right. You can rely on me to think of things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So by all means, if your customers would be happy to start paying, go and find that document, have a look at it, follow the instructions, and
they asked me about it.
Yeah, well, in that case, go and do it. But I just sort of thought, okay, when we do this next release with the long term, that's when it's time. So
as long as it's working fine, I just assumed that because I hadn't heard any announcement that it wasn't working correctly. As long as it's working correctly, then I'll crack on.
Yeah. There's very few bugs in the software at the moment. I know of a couple. If you use the rebuild your plan and you've got credit card payments, it actually kills the credit card payments and you've got to go and open and save the credit card account to get the payments back. Only one person noticed that, so I figured not many of you have got customers with credit cards.
I don't use it.
Yep. Look, there's a couple of little bugs in there, but pretty much it's doing what it's supposed to do. And,
beautiful.
And yeah, we're sort of at the point of we've stopped fixing things that are wrong and we're moving more into the mode of adding new features and making it better and stronger. So
what are you doing with that middle thing, you know, where we do the actuals and we post all to actuals or we mark them all as completed, that middle button is what you're doing with that?
I actually had forgotten all about that because it's like, who would want to use it?
Yeah,
just turn everything into actuals without checking.
Yeah, the thing is though, a couple of my clients have said to me that they don't, whilst they love the software, they don't like the fact that stuff is offered that doesn't work.
Okay, like, yeah, that's a valid point.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I say. They don't like it that you can save to PDF or save to Excel, whatever, export to Excel, and you can't. They don't like it that you can't, you know what I mean? It's like, if it's not available, then don't have it on there, you know what I mean? So a couple of them have said that.
That's very valid.
Yeah.
All righty, it's 2:15 here. It's probably, if you've got any questions that you haven't asked, you might need to email them in. Hopefully there was some value in today's session for you. Jenny was going to be on the call, but you know, she broke her leg and then she ended up having to have this appointment and it turned out to be 1:00, so she bailed on me and left it up to me again. So, but I got broad shoulders. I can do that.
You can cope.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your attendance. I have recorded this call. Because it's got video in it as well, I'm not sure how big the file's going to be, but I will get it up for those people that missed it. And if you want to go back and check it again, you're quite welcome to. I look forward to talking to you all next month.
Thanks, David.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.